Go.
Hello and welcome to a special presentation from In the Money Media. This is another episode of Racing with Roman. Truth be told, we've had a lost episode now, the third in the Money Media history in 10 years of an episode we tried to, we actually did record it or thought we recorded it last week due to host error. I'll fall on the sword for this one. We weren't able to release it. It was a mixed bag. Larry gave out a nice price winner. We tried to tell you to beat a 4-5 shot that won like one. And then we had an interesting conversation about the big race won by Sierra Leone. And maybe that's the horse where we'll start today's discussion with. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornitel. Very pleased to bring in the man who sponsors these shows. You know his work as a podcaster at this point, as a gambler, and most of all, as an owner in the great sport of horse racing. He's Lawrence P., a.k.a. Larry Roman. Larry, how are you this Saturday?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Just got some exciting, really exciting news. Our horse Laughing Boy, who won the Excelsior by disqualification, very controversial. We could talk about that later if you want, but we're going to race him in the Ben Ali at Keeneland next week. But the exciting part is, guess who the jockey is going to be?
Who are you putting up on this horse?
Franco De Torre.
I was hoping that's what you were going to say, but I didn't want to say it and be wrong. That's very fun. Yeah. That's great.
So that's going to be really exciting. I'm really looking forward to that. They're drawing, I think, as we're speaking. So I don't know the post. I know it's going to be a 9-horse field. And I know we have a good speed there. So, look, we're probably going to be 10, 20 to 1 or whatever. But we were 54 to 1 and 1. So we're going to take a shot, especially having that jockey.
Oh, yeah. He moves horses up for sure. Are you going to go? Will you be there in person?
I'm intending to. You know, there's always things that can happen, but right now my plan is to be there. And how am I going to miss that? You know,
yeah.
I have to do everything I can to get there. So I'm going to try, fly into Louisville, an hour drive to Keeneland, the most beautiful place, as I've told you. To me, it's like the Wizard of Oz. You know, when you look at it, you have the dark green jackets of the Masters. I assume everybody's watching the Masters. And you have Keeneland with that dark green and the Wizard of Oz. And so you're just in a magical place. And I love that place so much. It really is beautiful. Difficult place to win at, but an absolutely gorgeous, wonderful place to be at.
You're doing something right if you're getting starters at a meet like that. Will you go around and look at any of the farms while you're there? Do you get into that side of things?
Yeah, I don't think I'll have the time, but I pass by them, on the trip there. And the grass is so green. I mean, it's just different than the rest of the world, honestly. It's magnificent, and the people are so wonderful. And, it's just such a friendly, exciting atmosphere. And they walk your horse around the tree, and you're in your own little spot. So I'm really looking forward to it. Hopefully, I will be able to get there, and hopefully, we'll run a competitive race. We'll see.
Keeneland, one of the true temples of the sport. We're going to talk about three races from Keeneland on today's show, but I do want to loop back. You and I have been aligned in this idea that this crop was basically, there's fierceness in his own tier, and then there's everybody else in the other tier. Where do you rate Sierra Leone after that impressive run in the Bluegrass Stakes last weekend?
Well, he's the kind of horse I like. I love horses that come from behind and develop. Getting better, and he's getting better. I mean, he won Wrapped Up. Again, I don't know who he beat, but it's the way he beat them. So we've talked about it. Look, I said on the podcast a few starts back, and anybody can listen to it. I said, fierceness is easily, bet everything you have on the futures with him, because he just has something called raw speed. And I said it on the last podcast, he should ride the race like it's a 6-furlong race. What happened? He got out of the gate. All these people who were talking about Hayes, Isabella, like, come on. If you know racing, there's no comparison between those horses. And so Fierceness did what he was supposed to do. He got to the lead, and he's just standing up like he's out for a canter. So that's why I think he's unbeatable in the Derby. Of course, you have that long run into the turn. Is there going to be some crazy, speed out there? Could be. And if he got hooked up 3 wide into that turn in 21-4 or something like that, possibly. But he's got the raw talent. And, you know, Pletcher is going to have him totally primed for the race. And my opinion is, if I'm getting even money or more, I'm betting him.
You'll get
and
that.
Even though people say, okay, well, everybody's telling me I should get 2-1.
Yeah,
so
at least.
That's fine.
There's so much hype on some of these other runners. And I feel like, well, you will see. When people actually start betting, they have a way to coming around to the numbers. If this was a race at Aqueduct on a Thursday, and you just looked at the number gap between him and Sierra Leone and all the rest, you're right. He'd be a 4-5 shot. But there's so much narrative in the Derby, and there's going to be so many people pointing to the good race, bad race, and so many people asking who did he beat and what's going to happen when he looks a horse in the eye, that I think that price is just going to get pushed and pushed. And I do think you end up probably more like 5-2, 3-1. I mean, I advised an associate in the UK who liked the horse, said there was 4-1 available over there. I told them to take that without hesitation. Interestingly, though, over there, where obviously they look at the world a little bit differently, but that's still around the price, 7-2 right now over there. But I do think it'll get tighter as it comes in. I was just curious to see if Sierra Leone put a dent in your confidence at all in Fierceness. It sure sounds like it has not.
Well, yeah, I mean, I respect the horse tremendously. I really do. Like I said, his style is great. So if you saw a scenario, which I'm not expecting, but, you know, we don't have the field yet, of Fierceness getting into a fierce battle. I mean, I'm talking about real serious fractions here, which could happen. You know, it's happened in other derbies. And, you know, he's coming on the turn. It's 1.25 miles. And Sierra Leone, if they're coming down the stretch and Fierceness has a lead by 1.5 lengths, and you see Sierra Leone on the outside getting momentum, he's going to go by him.
Yeah,
I don't have a doubt on that. It's just, I think that Fierceness controls the race because of his raw talent and his raw speed. And 3-1, 7-2, 4-1, just bet out on this horse. Last time I bet a horse like that was Big Brown. I was on TV on, I don't know, TVG or one of those stations. And I said the same thing. The horse can't lose. They said, how do you know? I said, the horse, he's just too much better than the rest of the horses. So I feel that way about Fierceness. However, I will say that the other horse is getting strong and racing better. And I expect a good race out of him as well. That's how I see the Derby. I don't see anybody else. Nobody.
It would take something chaotic, and we see things, you know, as recently as a couple of years ago, we've seen some truly wild results. So, you know, I never say never at this point when it comes to the Kentucky Derby, but that's probably the way I'm going to end up betting this thing, is extremely strong through Fierceness, maybe some backups with Sierra Leone, because I do think he looks clearly like the best closer, and then maybe a couple of little tickets for chaos as we get closer, if I can come up with some clever ideas. But I think you and I are going to win or lose together as far as the Kentucky Derby is concerned. Anything else on your mind to chat about before we get into the meat and potatoes of these races at Keeneland on this Saturday?
Well, not that I had a horse yesterday, one named Chocolate Shake. So we had a lot of fun because I dropped the horse down, which I don't think should be allowed. I claimed the horse. I waited 30 days. I dropped him down. He had run a terrible race when I claimed him. So I figured he's a 6-year-old. Nobody will claim him. And if you watch the race, the horse went 44 and change and won for fun. And this is, again, what I talk about trainers when they're hot. This guy, Rob Attriss, you go to Keeneland, he's winning. This, he's so good at what he does. And he's such a wonderful guy that, you know, you want to hate him, meaning if you're his competitor. But he's the nicest guy in the world. And his wife is wonderful as well. So hot as a pistol. Dave Jacobson, back now, hot as a pistol. And, you know, these are you got to look at these trainers. And if they're claiming a horse, you got to, even if the lines don't look good, you got to bet these horses because they're so good at what they do. And I don't know what they do. I have no idea. But, you know, it's just a fact as what they've done. So it's been a good week, exciting week. But, of course, everything else is in the past. And now all you're doing is looking to the future, which is I'm looking for the Ben Ali. And then I'm looking forward to the great Kentucky Derby coming up, even though we don't have Baffert as of now. I know there's a lawsuit, but I believe that's terrible that they're not allowing Baffert horses to ride. Really disgusting. And I'll say it over and over again. Not the right thing. But still going to be a great race.
Let's talk about these Keeneland races today. We'll start in race number three. We do have some scratches to let people know about, including a potentially key one. Of course, I know you wanted to talk about number one, Modern Day Warrior, coming out. He was cross-entered. Did he end up running yesterday, or is he still... I just remembered that he was in yesterday, too. That might be the reason for that one. Anyway, yesterday with the washout, I only paid attention to the couple of races I had bets in. Anyway, the one will not go. The 7 and the 8, True Faith and Air It Out, also will not be competing in this spot. We're left with a field of 9. And where is your eye drawn in here, Larry?
Well, it was drawn in on the 1 as not a lot. I love these 40 claimers, about 7 furlongs, you know, these... They're, you know, it's fun. These are Keeneland fun races where you have all kinds of horses. You see a horse, the 7 horse was Candy Ride. They paid $575,000 for him, gave him 1 race, and were ready to drop him in for 40. I mean, only at Keeneland, you know, this stuff can't happen. But he scratched. The one I thought was interesting with Wesley Ward with that breeding. He's got the rail. I thought he was going to be shooting out. Of course, Wesley's known for 2-year-olds, you know. But
yeah, these are older horses.
Yeah, but right. So these are 4-year-olds. So anyway, so they're out. So, you know, we'll look past that. I think you're going to get some price in this race. You know, I did look at the outside horse, Summon Your Courage. I watched his replay, his last replay. Didn't really have much of an excuse. Might have gotten squeezed a little bit. But, you know, you got a rat, and I'll say it 100 times. Every time I bet against him, he wins. Every time I bet on him, he loses. Every time. Okay. So I'm betting against him. Okay? I'm betting against him. I'm going with a horse named Sir Grayland. And why? These Spitzers are very interesting horses. They're running better than, you know, his low stud fee. He's got awesome again on the damp side. His work seemed to be steady and good coming into this race. He ran a bullet April 8th. He's 12-1. Okay. I just think he's going to run better than people expect. You know, I don't watch the workouts. You know, there are experts in that stuff. Darren was always one of those guys who knew all about that. But we'll I think he has a shot. I also look at this horse, Paved in Gold. So Paved in Gold ran a, for 30,000 claim, he ran a 67 buyer, finished 2nd. Then they decided, oh, we have a killer here. So they put him up to a maiden special weight. And he was only 5-1. He battled through 45-2, 110-2, got tired late. Now he's taking the big drop down. I don't see why this horse is 15-1 in the morning line. Not me. I don't get it. So I think he's got a chance here, of course, in what's a wide open race. And then the other horse that I look at is Summon Your Courage. And you have to have the courage to bet against him because here's what I see. You look at, he was with Todd Pletcher. We know Todd Pletcher doesn't keep around horses that aren't, have some quality. This horse was racing very competitive, maiden special weight, 2nd, 3rd, beating the nose, 2nd, 3rd. He was doing fine. And then he takes off, was about 9 months, 10 months, comes back in a maiden special weight, finishes an even 4th as a favorite. So it wasn't like it had a, you know, great race at Turfway. Then they bring him to Oaklawn, and that was the last race that I watched. And Torres is a great jockey. So we're not saying, okay, he's going from Torres to Arad. Yes, Arad is maybe the best in the world, but Torres is a really competent rider. And the horse, I didn't see much of an excuse. They came into the lane. He didn't have much fight whatsoever. He was just there, got passed. So, you know, I'm saying this horse is beatable. He's going to be out there. He's going to get caught wide. He doesn't have incredible speed, so he'll probably get away 3rd or 4th. Most likely he's going to come by and beat me at the end, but I'm not betting Arad here at my guess is he's going to be 7-5.
Yeah.
What say you?
Well, it's funny because we start with the same idea and then we take it in 2 different ways. I am also against Summon Your Courage. It's also a little bit because of the tape of the last race. I just didn't like the fact that he really didn't break at all. And sometimes that to me is a sign of a horse that's just off form. And on paper, this horse has back races, as you mentioned, that would absolutely bury this field. So I'm not saying he can't win, but at the price he's going to be, especially now with the Ward scratching, I'm going to let him beat me too. But I thought that the second choice, another horse that's sure to take money in here, was maybe a bit of a reliable yardstick. I like your long shot ideas, especially on Sir Grayland, you know, Spitester's first time out, Grant Forster, you know, a trainer who can win. I mean, you make some really good cases, but to me, this Eric Ridge is another one dropping from decent efforts in maiden specials. And I just love that this horse is consistent. He's run an okay race every time. And now he's getting to race against the weakest field that he's ever competed against by far. So I thought that would bring him forward. And Al Stahl's a good trainer. And this horse really fits in this spot, right? $15,000 purchase. So, I mean, if they can win a race at Keeneland with this horse, everybody's going to be happy, even if they lose him. I thought you could maybe get a little more stuck into the four. But I definitely respect your long shot ideas. And I think in my exactas, I might mess around with 4, 5, and 6 and just try to leave the 12 out completely. And if he beats me, he beats me. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. You know, I looked at Eric Ridge. I mean, he's only 4-1 in the morning line. He's probably going to go up at 3-1 with the scratches that are there.
Yep.
And what, just from my, this is my experience, he's got Henny Hughes on the dam side. Henny Hughes gives you speed, but not the stamina. Tonalist is a stamina horse. So it's an interesting breed. But I don't like horses that don't seem to make up ground in the stretch. Forget about what class they're in, you know. And here's a horse that gets out, he's there, but he's never has this closing kick, you know, in the race. And so I had him where I'm not saying he can't win. I'm just saying he's a horse that I don't think is worth
no value
one
for
or five
you.
To two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I
just want to get a price. Now, I was wishing this was a full field, the 12 horses. That would mix it up a lot more than it's going to be mixed up now. But, you know, we have to play it with the scratches, and we'll see what happens. I don't know. I want to get a price in that race, and I think it's going to be an interesting race to watch, albeit not as interesting as it was if it was a 12-horse field. But we'll see.
Let's move on to some of the graded action. We got two terrific races later on in the card today, and we'll talk about them both, starting with race number 9, the grade 1 Jenny Wiley, fillies and mares 4 and up, going 1/16 on the turf. Chad Brown holds a strong hand here, but I can actually make cases for a couple of the non-Chad Brown entrants as well. Who do you think is going to win this year's Jenny Wiley?
Well, this is the kind of race that, you know, you see, and they're just great races for handicappers. And so I look at it and I go, like, it's a race where you either, if you're betting your picks, you have to use 6, 7, or 8 horses because they all look the same on paper, beating the net, beating 3/4 of a lane, beating a lane, beating a half, you know, win by a head. You just look at it, just that kind of field. So you can either do that, which I won't say is wrong, and, you know, try to get a price, which a lot of us do and I try to do, or you can come and say, well, let me find a horse that's not with this group, right? One horse that may lay over the field, potentially lay over the field. And then I look at this horse, English Rose, okay? A 4-year-old filly. Frankel, do I have to say any more about grass and greatness? Dubawi on the dam side, do I have to say any more about that? So you have this Irish bred horse, and I think Irish bred horses are unbelievable on turf. And now I look at the lines, okay, because I'm used to these horses coming in from Ireland and Great Britain and all that, and they have one decent race, whatever, and they get bet like crazy anyway. Here's a horse, first start, 11 horses, wins at 9-2, then comes back in a 14-horse field, wins at 4-5. Then comes back in a stakes race and gets beat a neck, you know, quick in the, and then the last race with no betting, you know, a stakes race, a Longines Grade 2, wins by 2.5 lengths. I wish I could see what the odds were in that race. And I'm looking and going, I think this filly lays over this field. She's 9-2. We all know this guy bought, what's his name?
Apple.
Buick.
Oh, Buick. William Buick.
Neil Buick. Yeah, he is. You know, that's an old car. Most of the people don't know that car. But yeah, I only see him in these races. But this kid can ride. You know, he can
ride.
Oh, he's
amazing.
He's amazing. And so I'm saying to myself, all right, I can either use 6-7 horses in this race or just say, you know what? This Irish bred filly is a champion or about to be a champion. She's winning, and I think she's going to blow by this field. So I'm just singling English Rose.
I love the boldness of it, and I like her a lot, too. So I did a little bit of figure work. You know, obviously, with all the work I do over there, I got some people who are pretty good at the translating of the figures from their sort of form figures to our speed figures. And I reached out to Rob Dove, one of the top 10 pro punters in the UK today, who basically translated her top time form rating as a 99 by her speed figure. So that would also put her right in the mix. It's not like, you know, it's not like she has to improve all that much. I mean, I guess a little bit in here depends on how seriously you take these giant speed figures that Gina Romantica has been running here. Because if she runs back to those, it's going to be tough for English Rose or any of the others to get her. But I'm with you that English Rose can absolutely win this race. And I'm hoping that with four Chad Brown runners, Didia, another one who's terrific, who I'd want on my tickets in here, I'm hoping we can get 7-2, 4-1 on English Rose. I looked at the betting this morning in England, and she's 5-2 over there now. But that makes sense that they might bet her more, especially early on, because of Godolphin, Appleby, Buick, and connections they know. I'm hoping here we could get all of 7-2, 4-1, maybe even 9-2. What of Gina Romantica? Do you take her as the most serious threat to English Rose in this spot?
Yeah, I mean, I expect her to be the favorite. You know, you have Tyler Gaffleone. The horse has been off for, you know, 4 or 5 months, which, you know, doesn't mean that much, you know, with the Chad Brown barn. What I see with the horse, though, and of course lost the Master of the Seas, who just come back and win a big race. Great, you know, horse, you can't say anything other than great things about the horse. There's nothing bad I could say about the horse, other than the horse can be beat. If you look at the races, look at her last four races. She won one race by a head. She lost three races. Gaffleone is, you know, did well with her last race. You know, the comment is mile late bid. It's not like a trouble trip, you know, mile late bid, okay, against a good horse. So I think she's going to be over bet. I think she's going to be 2-1 or 8-5. Can she win? You know, Into Mischief from Bridal Song. I love the breeding. She can win. I'm enamored by this horse, English Rose. Yeah. And these Irish Brits fillies, they're just incredible. And, it's a great race. You know, it's absolutely a great race. And there's nothing in this race that would shock me, because a lot, these are hard-hitting horses, and they're all neck off, head off. You know, trip, you know, could determine the winner of this race. Right? So, I mean, you look at Fluffy Socks, right? Off. I mean, he's never off by more than a length. And, I don't know, 8 out of 10 starts, he's always right there. And 6-1, he's got a rat Ortiz.
She looks a little slow for this, but you're right. If she trips out and some of these others have trouble, I'm going to basically mess around with 5, 6, and 9 and essentially try to get Gina Romantica not in the win spot. That's probably going to be my approach. Are you just going to bet to win in here and single English Rose, or do you see yourself messing around with exactas and tries at all?
Well, I might use, you know, like I said, this 2-horse I think has a chance. He's got a rat Ortiz Jr., who I think is phenomenal, and the horse lost by a head in a Grade 1 race, so I might throw her in. I have to look at the board.
Yes,
you know, again, if English Rose is 8-5 or 2-1, this I'm not betting that horse. I'm betting the horse 7-2 or better.
I think
you have
get
to
it.
Play the board, okay? Yeah. And I believe I'll get it, and that's it. So I'll use the 5 with a couple, you know, of price horses. I'm gonna, you know, do I have to use the 6? Probably, but it's not going to be because I want to. The 7 horse, Surge Capacity. What's wrong with that horse?
Another one. Another of many who can fire a shot and maybe get things done if the flow goes her way. I really don't have any huge issue with her, other than I thought maybe a little bit slower than the best of these. But, I mean, she's almost undefeated. It's hard to knock that form.
Right. Who do you want coming down the lane? A guy named Joel Rosario on the turf? I mean, this freaking guy. You know, so, you know, that's why I said it's that kind of race. You either have to say, I got to use 6-7 horses, or I think this English Rose is a champion, and she's going to be better than these. As good as these horses are, she's going to be better. And so I decided to take that because every horse is either the favorite wins or I'm out of it. So I'm going to use Key the Five. That's my bet here.
I think it's a good one to take a stand with because of the extra value I presume you're going to get with the four Chad Brown runners, and also a really tough horse who's sure to take money in Didia, who I just can't leave off Didia just because of the amount of fight that she has in her and her ability to be versatile. It's a great race. Can't wait to see what happens. But let's spend the last couple minutes we have, because we do have to get the show up and out there in the world. The Lexington, last chance for Kentucky Derby points. We've got a tough New York bred in the wine steward here. Hades, a horse that you've not been a huge fan of in the past, but maybe finds the right spot. Runners like Encino and Liberal Arts. I've even heard some buzz about Lucky Jeremy in this spot. Very curious who you like in this year's Lexington.
Well, you heard buzz about Lucky Jeremy. What buzz did you hear about
just
that?
People liking the horse's chance to bounce back on dirt. I'm not saying I necessarily buy it. It's one of those horses that we did a little YouTube video for this, and a lot of people in the comments were making their little cases for Lucky Jeremy. I personally don't really see it, but I will give them props if something good were to happen with that runner.
Okay, so I look at it and I go, you know, you didn't mention, I don't think you mentioned Hades, which is interesting because, you know, I just think Hades is one of those horses who's outperformed what he is. You know, he's an awesome slew. I haven't seen awesome slews that are champions, nothing that I've seen. You know, I like Quality Road on the damn side, obviously. What happened in that last race that this horse didn't break out? I don't know. They say bump start. I didn't see anything. The horse seemed so outclassed and had nothing. And I think Hates could be the favorite in this race because of the fact that he beat Fierceness. I'm not betting him. The wine steward, he's good horse. He battles. He's there. He's got Louis Says. He's also been off for 6 months. So
got to need the race, right?
You may need the race. Yeah. Well, but you don't have a choice because you want to get to the Derby. You got to give it all. So I'm going with Encino. I'm going with Encino. He's another one of these horses. I like horses that are progressing. Brad Cox, Giroux, you have, okay, great. His first start way back, got, you know, lost by a neck. Then he comes by and made the special weight. He wins, but, you know, didn't look overly impressive, but he's one of those horses that just knows how to win, I think. Now, those two wouldn't get me, but now he goes to the Battaglia, has the outside post, and he's almost 6-1. He's 4 wide out the whole way, and he keeps coming, and he wins by a length. To me, this is a Godolphin. This is a horse that's getting better. I find problems with every other horse in the race. I look, including Lucky Jerry, including Liberal Arts. Every other horse that I look at, I can make a reason why I don't think the horse can win. This is the horse that I can't make a case against. This is the horse that I really feel comfortable anywhere near that kind of price, I'll be betting a lot of money on him.
I like the confidence.
Let's say you.
He has, well, Encino is one of the ones for sure. And the other huge thing, you know, take a look at who he beat in that Battaglia, right? Epic Ride came back to run a huge race in the Bluegrass near that fast pace and stuck on pretty well to be third at a huge price. So the form of that run holding up well. But I have a pet horse in here that I'll tell you a story about, and that's Liberal Arts. And I agree, on paper, Liberal Arts, there's a lot of question marks. But going back and watching this tape, for me, he's just got big excuses in the last two races. In the Arkansas Derby, Just thought he had no kind of trip at all. Now, granted, some of that was his own doing. He was pulling early, but he just ended up in bad spots throughout the race. And I'm going to put a line through it. It was not, I don't think, representative effort of him. And then in the Southwest, in that sloppy track with the good inside, he was on the good inside and then came off it and still continued to close well, even though he had moved on to what I thought was not the better part of the track. So I'm going to upgrade that 88 a little bit and think, hey, maybe he can build off that. If he does, he could be right in here with a shot. But I also, it's going to come down to price. Again, if Liberal Arts is, if he's any lower than the 4-1 of the morning line, I might think twice. But this is a horse I could see sneaking away at 6-1, maybe even, with different ways to go in here. And you know, I'm with you being against the 5 in this spot, and that horse has got to take money. So let's see if we can't get it done with Encino and Liberal Arts. I may just go two-handed in this one and see if we can't get the money in the Lexington. I know you didn't like Liberal Arts going in. Did my case convince you at all?
You actually did, and it's very hard to convince me because usually I take a stand. But, you know, when I do look at it and I go, you know what, you're making sense. That's why I hired you as the number one podcaster in the world today in horse racing. And you make sense. I mean, he's an Arrogate, which of course we know Arrogates can be great. And if I do throw out the very rank, you know, I'm not really familiar with the trainer. So I think that's one of the things that
he was a Shug assistant. He used to be Shug's. He was Shug's top assistant for a long time. So what would you think if it said Shug McGahee instead of Robert Medina there for trainer?
Yeah, that would make a difference.
Yep.
I love that group. So I'm going to use them now, and I'm agreeing with you. I'm just going to use 8 and 9. I might use the 2 underneath or something like that. You know, but I don't like Lucky Jeremy. I can tell you, I don't like ever do it.
I should have mentioned he's out. Yes.
Yeah. You know, this, I don't like, How's Your Attitude? I don't like anybody here. So yes, of course I might get beat at the end and it might be your horse. So I think that we should say, here's it. 8 and 9. Those are the horses. I like 8. You like 9. That's fine. I agree. He's got a great chance.
Let's get the money, Larry. Really appreciate you sponsoring these shows. We'll keep them rocking and rolling as long as you want to do them. But unless you have any closing thoughts, we'll send this one home.
My closing thoughts are, this is the greatest time of the year for racing. You have stakes all over. You know, people look to the Kentucky Derby, but that's one race. These are every weekend you're getting these great races, and it's also, you get to watch the Masters and the weather's turning good. So I'm in a really good mood. I'm in a good place. I hope everybody's in a good place. I hope everybody wins today, but of course that can't happen. So good luck to you, and we'll see you next week. Thanks very much, Pete. Bye-bye now.
For Larry, I'm Pete. May you win all your photos.